How did you treat your last person?
No, you know, these comes on later, but I'm saying in the first, but I'm just wondering what happens. I mean, I'm not on these dates with you. How many of you to have? Like 12? No.
You know what? Another. He liked to throw shade. He liked to throw shade.
Let me stop bothering.
Yeah, dates for me don't be like.
If you go on a date, you see like you be like, I ain't got.
What? The problem I have is. It's not a whole lot of intellectual people.
Yeah, I got you.
So it's like. We already talked about that. Why are we talking about that again? Like, okay, you know, this person must really love they whatever.
Yeah, and then, shallow.
But see, I'm the person that be like, you know what? This is a nice restaurant.
Yeah.
This was, I said, but I mean, you got to give me more than just.
Yeah, oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying?
I feel you.
Like,
yeah.
If I can't.
Intellectual stimulation is powerful.
Yeah, conversation. Yeah. And it's not all about you trying to impress me. See, that's the turnoff of me. Okay. Somebody trying to impress me?
Yeah.
Nah.
Yeah.
Because I need a regular smegular. Okay, how are you at that level?
Yeah.
Press me later.
Yeah.
You know, but. And I just tell you about a date that I was on one time. Okay. So. I actually met this guy. He called my job to get insurance.
Okay.
He's a truck driver.
All
right. Or whatever. And we was on the phone for a long time, but I was trying to make sure that I helped him out or whatever. And then, you got to pull that driving record.
Yeah.
And I was like, so I asked him, and I think it did something to him. I said, you seem like you a little reckless. Why you got all these points on your license like that, right? So it opened up conversation. So he was telling me, oh, I got my attorney, this, da, 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 da. Anyway, so by the end of everything, we was able to get everything situated. And he actually asked me out on a date. I said, yeah, I said, but I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. I said, I might sound sweet over the phone. I said, but one-on-one, we done already talked about your trucking business. Don't bring that up. We done already talked about, all of your legal issues. You got to give me something, more than that. So we get to, where do we go? Longhorns, right? And first of all, you late. I mean, I did just live across the street, but that's not the point. You was late.
How late?
And then,
how late?
About 20 minutes late. That's a lot.
But did he tell you he was running late?
Did he?
He probably told you he was running late.
But you decided to be on time
that time. Because
Okay, that's beside the point. That's beside the point. I was on time. Because.
Like I said, that is automatically hypocritical because.
I live right across the street. But that really wasn't the thing that irked me the most.
Okay.
What irked me the most was the inconsistency afterwards.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And it'll be like, I don't care what your situation is right now.
Okay.
You get what I'm saying? I don't even know if I like you.
Okay. You know what I'm saying?
Like that.
Yeah.
Like, okay, you're a nice person. You got stuff going on. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But that ain't all the boxes.
Yeah,
we get there. We did have something in common. He just said, shot a film and stuff like that.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So that took up enough conversation. Then he kept talking about, D.C., Maryland, being out of town. And that was like he dropping that after this, he not going to be available because he always traveling. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, so does it mean don't hit him up?
Or? I'm like, oh, okay. He said nothing because I don't do that anyway. Like,
oh, so basically saying don't hit me up.
Or like, if I don't answer,
I'll
call you back. I'm like, you ain't even on that level yet.
Oh,
for me to even Yeah, he wanted to call you. You know what I'm saying? So I was just like, that happened to me when I was younger one time, right? But it ended up backfiring in the dude face, right? Mm-hmm. Because his friend and my friend were dating, and it was almost kind of like a little blind date thing. And he on the phone, well, I got this going on, so I don't know. And then went out on a couple of dates, and he blowing me up. Mm-hmm. And I was like, didn't you just say that you was, you know what I'm saying, gonna always be busy and stuff? And I'm like, well, what changed, right? And then all of a sudden, it's this whole big old whatever. I said, either you were lying before or you're lying now. Mm. Either one, I don't really like you like that. So it's not finna go nowhere. Because the inconsistency, like, what made you feel like you had to feed me that story and had never met me before? Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying? Like, in person.
Well, maybe it was just like, you know, I can't answer that.
Yeah, see, I don't know.
It's all according to the person. Yeah. Somebody else will probably answer that.
Yeah, so dating for me is just, it's just, it's a waste of some of my energy. And I'm not the type that's going to go on a date for a meal, because I can cook. I can go home and you know what I'm saying? But it's like you said, you dealing with the people that's out there too, that's the savages that go out on a date every day just for the meal and definitely. People get mad that, you know what I'm saying, they spending money and this and that. And it's like, I need another pool of people to pick from, because these ain't really going nowhere.
Where you go?
You know what? I really don't go much of anywhere.
I mean,
but
you need to go in some different settings. A lot of times it's where you're hanging. Where
like
you doing?
What? Like,
I don't know.
I mean, the last couple years been COVID.
Yeah.
So we ain't been going nowhere with that. Mm-hmm. Traveling, you don't know what you getting yourself into with that when you meet people. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like,
it's not marriage, though, on the first day.
Oh, I know that, but I'm still on guard to ask you out.
You should.
You know what I'm saying?
But I ain't
trying to get married on first date.
No, I mean, I know, but I'm just saying.
But I do want to collect enough information.
Data.
To put you where you belong.
Yeah. I got you. That makes sense, though. No, that's actually fair. I mean, a lot of times, though, people, I think they go into it with the wrong mentality. They just kind of go in just like, I need to find out there's either one. Some, like, they want somebody to pay their bills, and somebody wants somebody to just.
See, you got
to
put up with all the mess in order for all that to happen. You know what I'm saying? Like, that ain't even no even exchange for me. Just work harder. Get you some more hours in instead of compromising with that just because somebody helping you out. Like, that's, I don't know, but, you know, I guess that's where we are, you know, that people, I mean, but I don't even know how I got here. Like, how did it get to a point to where, you know, 50s, you talking about families, and 60s, 70s is like households, and you know what? It's welfare. Seriously. When that started,
economics is important.
That took the man out of the household for it to be, you know what I'm saying, like focusing on family, you know. And then you got the independent women who don't need a man. And it's like, yes, you do.
Yeah, like that alone.
Yes, you do.
That alone in society is something that bothers me a great deal. Just how men are regarded, how they're treated, how they're dealt with. Not being funny, but you know it is what it is. The African American male, for sure. I am very passionate about that because we can get a bad rap, man, and it's a lot of times misunderstood. Nobody's really having the conversation. Now, don't get me wrong. Some, the support has been provided for them. They just choose not to, you know, and I'm not going to sit here and say that it's the case for all, but for some, overall, a great deal of being misunderstood or being judged or being looked over. You know, you gotta fight in the home. You gotta fight in society. It's a fight everywhere. And so the question becomes, where is his rest? You know, where is his true rest? I am more and more becoming very advocating for people really going to therapy. I really am. You need to unpack. Until you see certain things about yourself and what you really need, you won't really know what to go after. And right. So many of us are, honestly, we're out of balance. And we're out of balance because we're not dealing with things that's going on with us for real. Like, you think about how even, I was sitting in a restaurant and I just observed a family sitting together. They were sitting together, but there was no dialogue going on. Everybody was just on their phone, texting, things like that. Mm-hmm. The construct of the, I know the black family before, is you had to wash up and wash your hands or whatever, come sit at the dinner table, and you're talking about your day, communicating. Mm-hmm. You know, how was your day? How are you feeling? You know, what's going on? Challenges and things that you face or are facing, and coming up with that, we bonded together because we communicated well. We had the infrastructure of most of us, for the most part, we had great support systems. Now, don't get me wrong, for some aspect of it, there was things that have been an issue with some things that has caused it not to be as trustworthy, because some of the people you found out were later getting molested. Right. You know, it's always in the context of what is your background really like? What do you understand about the world and how are you going to get to what it is that you want to get to?
Yeah, you said a support system and role models and stuff like that. Just kind of switching it from the male like to the woman. When you have a father in the home or whatever, you tend to either spit out two different types of women, right? Mm-hmm. It's that woman that say, it's that super independent, I don't need you. My daddy taught me that I don't need no man. Mm-hmm. Or the flip side of that is that needy, like, I got to have a man. Mm-hmm. What is it that you think, you know, because you can have 3-4 girls in the household, two of them might be one, then the other two might, you know, turn out the other way. Like, what is it that you think that's that child, I guess, growing up is latching on to be one or the other? As far as like the male role models, like if daddy is coming and he's doing everything in the household like he's supposed to do, you got those who become daddy's girls, and no man is ever going to be good enough, versus the other one is like, I need a man who going to take care of me like how my daddy took care of my mama.
That's all a matter. I think this is my humble opinion about it. I think that, and again, I say humble opinion, I think it's all boils down to the interpretation of that relationship. And so it's your interpretation from the relationship with your father is this is what a man has to do. Mm-hmm. And a great deal of that, I think that conversation, it can be fixed because it can be explained, you know. Right. The other part of it is that if she's the person that's pretty much saying, you know, nobody can, you know, take my dad's place and things like that. Again, perception, somebody can, but it also understand that the conversation is your daddy didn't get there overnight.
Right.
That there was a process with that. What it also do, I will say, it is also commendable. The other part of that, it is commendable in the sense of nobody, because what ends up happening is when a man marries you, when he takes you from your father's name, what he's pretty much saying is that my name is worthy enough to put on. Mm-hmm. That's the honor and aspect of it. This is why when he proposed to you, you're saying yes, not just to marriage. You're saying yes to being covenant with that name. And whatever is on that name is what's going to be part of your life. And so you got to take that. And so he shouldn't, don't propose to her if you're not trying to cover her. So that conversation alone becomes, in society, something that has to be, I think, explained and trained and understood, because, you know, we put demands for things that we're not responsible for. Like, right. Who gives you the authority? It's almost like if somebody was riding behind you and they was flashing the lights, and you may slow down, and you're like, you know, is everything all right? And they be like, give me a license registration. What are you talking about, fool? You ain't got no badge. You ain't right. No officer. You know what I'm saying? Like, right, like, what you got going on? Who's giving you that authority? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And authority comes with a level of responsibility. And so a lot of times is that we ask women of things. Or expect the things that do we possess and have the power, the responsibility, authority, and vice versa. Can you demand something from me or ask something of me or have an expectation of me and you're not even in place? You don't even give to this. You're not responsible in that regard. And so we need to be helped and get our minds reshaped from this false sense of expectation. Why are you expecting what you can't give? You know, why are you or willing to give? And I mean, even if you can't give me what I give you, but being able to, it has the same equivalence in right. reciprocity that it's not lacking. Mm-hmm. You honestly, and I've been saying this here lately a lot, if you ever want to know what's in you, it's at the moment that you're required to give something. Anytime something is asked of you to give something, it automatically, if you just pay attention to yourself, mm-hmm. it starts talking to you about you. Right. So depending on who's asking you for.
Right. Yep. I was going to say, it depends on who asks.
What you think about that person.
Yeah.
The constructs and who you are as a person. Because mm-hmm. you'll give it. Sometimes people, you'll give it, but you ain't going to give it any hurt now.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. You can, you ain't sacrifice.
Yeah.
You said you did. I had said, no, you didn't. That didn't hurt you.
Yeah.
That didn't hurt you. But you don't know this a lot of times until it's asked of you.
Right.
To give something. The moment it's asked of you, can you give? It shows. And so if those that are watching, listening, the question you'd ask yourself is, how have you felt about giving lately? If it's hurting you to give, maybe it's pointing to some level of trauma and things in your life that you're not over. Mm-hmm. If you're so resistant and you're super guard, I'm not a, maybe. It's because of where you are.
Right.
Maybe you just all out don't like that person.
Now, that's true. Now,
maybe you enjoy
I didn't have that happen. The
benefits of that person, right. But you don't want to give nothing to that person. Like, think about it. There's some people have gotten things out of you that nobody else wouldn't got out of you.
That's true.
They were like, oh, nah. Nah. Mm-hmm. Nah.
You're right.
You know?
You're right now. You're right.
Like, over here.
Yeah, you're right.
All in. Whatever. What you need. What's up? Over here. Yeah, I don't know what to say. You got to kind of, you know.
Well, what you need up here? And can't nobody else help you? When you need it back. I get it, yeah. And on the flip of that, like, do you feel like men who have good relationships with their mothers, do they choose spouses or partners that's like them if they've been a...
Typically. Can't say always, but typically you do. You know, you find if you have a good, and it's, that's why parenting is important. Mm-hmm. I really am a very strong advocate of dealing with childhood issues. Right. I really, you got to deal with them. The older I get, the more I value and I'm intentional about relationships with my parents, even more, you know.
Right.
When my father, when he had a stroke twice, and then after dealing with all of the changes that I've gone through with losing a lot of loved ones, it automatically put me in a spot mentally to say, oh, man, I don't know how much time I have.
Oh, man.
I mean, and not that I'm expecting him to pass anytime soon, anything like that, but right. It's almost like, it's like, it taught me to value the gift of people and respect the gift of time.
Right.
Because that's a lot of things that we are something that we don't realize that time is more expensive than money.
Yeah, and we take things for granted like that only because we're it's like we're just working on autopilot sometimes, mm-hmm. and we don't slow down to actually think that. But I think COVID was a hard hitter.
And some people came out different.
Right.
Some came out the same. Some came out worse.
Absolutely.
It was like all according to like what your mindset was, right, with your experience. Because some people just trying to get money. Yeah, and I'm not trying to be funny, yeah, but money is important. Yeah. But what in the
not
world?
Not at the expense of
your breath. Yeah. What are you doing?
Yeah, not at the expense.
I'm not
of
trying
your
to
life.
Be. I'm like, yo, I get it. I get it. Like, I'm a social person, but my God,
people feel like, hey, it's a once in a lifetime thing,
and I lost your life.
Yeah, I mean,
can barely move in your life.
Yeah, that's a risk that some people are willing to take.
Money. You can get some money.
Yeah, that's big. But like you said, the mindset of the person. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they looked at it as an opportunity all the way across the board, not just their physical self.
No, and I'm
but
not saying we need money. You need money.
And all of that. Because it's almost like when is it going to be so freely to be given again?
Yeah, no, and I'm not saying don't get your money. Get
nah,
your
I
money.
Know what you're saying.
Prosper. I'm big on that. Prospering. Some people really prosper, and I'm for that. Prosper.
Right.
I'm definitely. But what I'm saying is that have we in society got so big about coming up, looking grand, looking great, that we have neglected certain values that are important, the quality of life and who we are as people, and what do we want to be looked at as in society? You got folk who sell their mama for a dollar. They don't,
yeah.
It's like,
but
yo.
It's gradual. You got, like you said, social media. You got times changing, kind of looking at it as there's no moral compass anymore, mm-hmm. really. If you look at it, it's like everything is acceptable. I mean, you got people on OnlyFans that you got the, you know, and I say that because it's like that would have been frowned upon.
Oh yeah.
And now it's business.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's
we kind of like, okay, so when did we establish that what's being done behind this is okay?
Sex sales.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm just like, you know what? Okay. I like the old school. Like for me, like,
yeah, old school.
I can't really like get into all of the, because it's like, it's almost like some people aren't even thinking. They just going with whatever everybody else is doing.
Mm-hmm.
And they wonder why so many different areas in their lives are empty.
Mm-hmm.
It's because you're filling it with the wrong stuff.
Certainly. Yeah.
You know, that's fly by night. There's no longevity in anything that you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about to come up, you know, and it's like, on top of that, you telling me that you want the picket fence, you want the, you know, everybody and all the kids and stuff to graduate college and become millionaires.
Mm-hmm.
But you feeding yourself junk and then you passing it down to them. It doesn't make sense. But you got the other people who they're not gonna go against the grain of everybody else to even say something about it.
True.
You know what I'm saying? So I think when you talk about role models, you talk about support system, you gotta be careful with the people that, you know what I'm saying, you listening to too, because it's like you got them speaking in your ear about this thing and they could be leading you down a wrong path. Just because it might have worked for them, that might not be, you know what I'm saying, the same route that you should be able to go. Because you look up and you done spent what, 5-10 years, and you ain't accomplished nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't bettered yourself. You ain't learned yourself. All you've done is create trauma that you gonna feel in the next 10 years,
mm-hmm.
or be done deposited in your kids.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I think maybe the next 20 years ain't nobody gonna be married. Everybody gonna be single.
Hopefully not. No.
You know, they passing all the stuff that make it legal to change yourself, and then that's a whole ripple effect of what's going to happen when those people grow up until adulthood and be done switched all up. And
we're doing what's right. Honestly, yeah. To be honest with you, I know some people are not religious, so to speak, or whatever. But I think one of the things is that it's a quote, I believe, and it talks about pretty much in so many words, like how religion in some regards, help people practice a sense of restraint. So no matter what part of the spectrum of where you believe, whether it's Christian, Buddhist, Muslim, whatever. Of course, I'm Christian, whatever, and stuff like that. But the notion is, many of us we're looking to ourselves to do what's right for ourselves, and that is ultimately part of the problem. There's no governing, because when you do just what you feel is right, and in some regards, you know, I agree to a degree of, because I understand it, my truth, my experience. Mm-hmm. When I say my truth, my experience.
Right.
But some parts of that, the my truth aspect can also be very dangerous, because your truth is not always, it's not all of what you may think it is. In some aspects, it's your perception, but it's your reality to you. It's not the reality of it.
Right.
And so if you don't never really filter that and actually talk through that, and somebody giving you another way to see it, you doing what's best for you ultimately puts you in this destructive path. Maybe it's not working for you because all you've done is trusted you. You don't know what it means to trust God, obviously, really putting yourself grounded in the word, or also in conversations with people who are wise, that can help you with you, that you trust ultimately with yourself, you know, that says, hey, what do you think about this? You know, right. I did this. And I'm talking about real friendship is expensive, because it says, I'll lose you in the name that I love you, but not gain you in the sense that I lied to you. It's like, I'd rather for you to be mad at me in so many words, but I won you. I saved your life.
Right.
You may not talk to me for 20 years, but what I told you saved your life. That's cool. Rather than we still been hanging out for 20 years and look at you.
Right.
And some people, they are fearful to even voice how they feel with people because they are fearful of what their reaction is going to be and how they're going to move. But ultimately, we have to also ask ourselves a question. Where do I receive correction from? Am I allowing somebody to pour into me? As much as we like to project into the world, telling everybody what they need to be doing, mm-hmm. Who telling you what you need to do? Who telling you wrong about the way you handle it?
But that's some of the problem, is that sometimes we don't allow that to happen. And that's why we stay where we're at.
Yeah, we don't want, but again, there's no conscience. So, you know, like that, there's nothing really feeding your conscience. So you're not practicing restraint. You don't have nothing in you to pull you back, like to tell you know that's wrong. See, when you don't feed that, when you're not in environments, that's the beauty of spirituality, feeding that soulish aspect of you to pour into that, you know, because if you just go on based upon what you just experienced alone without actually having that conscious fed in the things that are morally right and things of that nature, doing what's right for you, we crazy.
Yeah. And a lot of times too, you hit on something that was big, and that's trust.
Mm-hmm,
like, we don't trust. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it's because of our previous experiences. But, you know, also, too, some people can't separate the person from the action. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes, like for me, you know, I have a spiritual mother. She, we met on a job, and, you know, that's when I ain't like people. Right?
Okay. I got you.
And she was, I think I walked by and like did a half good morning. And she was like, we not finna do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know what? I like her.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because little did she know, that was my struggle. yeah. was with, you know what I'm mm-hmm, saying? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But to this day, like, it's like one of those situations to where, you know, it's very few people that I'm going to totally let in, mm-hmm. and then B, actually take their advice, because like on one of them other shows, you got to be worthy of that. Like, I'm not finna just listen to you because you feel like this is what it's supposed to be. Like, you know, again, that authority.
Yeah.
You ain't got no license to tell me what to
do. Yeah, definitely. Like, yeah.
You don't got a license to tell me what to do. But at the end of the day, it's like one of those situations to where it's still examining yourself. Why am I like this? Why can't nobody tell me what to do? Mm-hmm. You know, but ultimately, you know, once you start allowing yourself to grow, and I think that's what I used to be so angry. It was just like, where is this coming from? Mm-hmm. That I, you know, nobody can tell me nothing, because I'm not bothering you. You shouldn't be bothering me, but I'm still ain't growing.
Yeah,
you
know what I mean? Makes sense.
So ultimately, we definitely need to start listening to the, because we even know within ourselves that this ain't right. Mm-hmm. This not balanced. Mm-hmm. This not, you know. But you don't really have anybody, because you pushed everybody away, to be able to feed into, you know what I'm saying, the things that you know, they can pick it up. They can pick it up. They be scared to say something to you, mm-hmm. you know. Save me. Because I'm one of those people. I mean, I try to be as good as I can, you know, but I miss the mark too, you know. But don't listen to the stories that Derek say, but I'm pretty, you know, I'm pretty good. He just try to paint that no, picture. He paint that people, picture, man. Like, man, like.
You good people, man.
You know. Yeah, he try to paint the picture. I mean, I didn't grow. So, you know, just like I said, please disregard. You didn't even look at the thing. I ain't even tag you in it, because I ain't want to be chastised again. Let me tell you what happened after one of the after one of the filming. Now it was some foolishness going on.
It was,
and I'm just aggravated from all angles. Yeah. And I'm just like, just because you jump on the bandwagon with this person, don't make it right.
Yeah.
You know, and then in the heat of the moment, you know, got a little.
Yeah, she cut up, man.
Got a little. She cut up. And then, you know, I had to go to the principal office afterwards. And I was like, okay, now I got to get my anger in check. And ever since then, I got to be like, okay, let me make sure this topic ain't going to push no button. So I be practicing, you know. I be practicing to make sure ain't nothing going to come up,
man.
You know, afterwards.
You got to be like, you're supposed to be like, hey. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
That's funny, man. Yeah, that's gonna. Yeah, I remember that, man. We talked about it a long time and over and over.
Yeah, but that's, you know, that's a difference of perspectives when you put people from all,
mm-hmm.
you know,
backgrounds
together, and their mindsets are so different. Some dysfunctional,
mm-hmm.
obvious dysfunction. It's like they don't want to receive. But again, this show is never to really put what I think on you. It's mm-hmm. just, you know, to allow you to just
see,
you know, open
way.
Your mind. You know, open your mind. Nothing is set in stone. But I'm working on it, y'all.
I'm
working on it.
You're doing it, man. You're doing it. So yeah, I totally understand that. So yeah. I think one of the things is that I will, those of you that's watching, we appreciate you for taking the time to listen and be a part of this amazing time of the Butterfly Effect. Hopefully you have grasped that no matter what part of the spectrum you're in, realizing that your experience is your experience. However, God wants to give you an opportunity to grow. He wants to give you an opportunity to experience true relationships, love. In the context of what he intends, you're not a bad person. You have so much to offer the world. Our desire for you is that you have the most authentic people come into your circle in life. Unpack your trauma, deal with the stuff that you have to deal with so that you can be the better person that you're designed to be and ultimately reach exactly what you were set to reach in this world. You can do it. Until next time, come hang out with us at the Butterfly Effect.